We get to the party and everything is going fine. Dog behaving, kids in hot tub, and we are taking food over to the patio table. But all of a sudden, I hear this scream for help. I go towards the sound and find my dog has... Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you and having a few laughs along the way. Hello, HMD family. Welcome to this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. And we're going to do a Not My Circus, Not My Monkeys special, right? So Not My Circus, Not My Monkeys is the kind of jokey way that we refer to your dog's ability to disengage from distractions. And really the goal is for your dog to go through life, see distractions like the dog, I don't know, barking and lunging at them over there, or the squirrel running across the field, or the kids playing football, and say to themselves, not my circus, not my monkeys, and carry on. And you think about it, and that kind of transforms like pretty much all behavior struggles, right? Whether we're thinking about just generally distracted behavior out and about, reactivity, even if we're thinking about separation anxiety, like your dog's ability to disengage from you leaving the house determines if they are anxious once you've gone or not, yeah? And so if your dog, as you leave the house, they could think, oh, my owner's going. Not my circus, not my monkeys, right? And go back to sleep. That would transform that. You think about a dog that is struggling with resource guarding. Yeah, they have an item and they're struggling to disengage from that. Imagine if your dog could say, as you take that item from them, they could go, I don't have it anymore. Not my circus, not my monkeys. Like, you can see how this just creates a more easygoing dog. It creates a dog that's resilient to the events of the world. It creates a flexible dog. It creates a dog that is able to go through life without carrying baggage around. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, because I think a lot of dogs that I encounter, they're overwhelmed. And that's because they struggle with this skill of disengagement, or not my circus, not my monkeys. Now, the other side to this is that in having a dog that's great with disengagement, you get more freedom because you can give your dog more freedom. You know they're going to disengage from distractions. You know that, you know, you're going to be able to call them back. Probably they won't even go. You won't have to call them back because they'll be with you because they see things. They're like, it's not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm cool about it. None of my business, yeah? And you then get the opportunity to be the person that gives them permission to go and interact. Whereas I think a lot of owners, they're stuck in this spiral of depriving their dog. They're like the jail keeper. They're constantly pulling their dog away from things because their dog doesn't have this skill of disengagement. So which we're having to force disengagement, which when you think about your relationship with your dog and how your dog sees you, if they see you as a depriver rather than an inspirer, that makes it even harder to communicate with them, right? Who can relate to this a little bit? So the first element of this disengagement episode, I guess, is realizing just how much disengagement plays a role in every decision that your dog's making, especially if your dog has behavior struggles. It will be a part of that. There's rarely a behavior console in the behavior clinic, whereby we're not talking about this concept of disengagement and coming up with a specific plan to grow disengagement for that owner and that dog based on their struggles and what they've got going on. Now, there are levels of disengagement. In fact, I'm going to sit down to talk about this, because there are levels of disengagement. And the levels of disengagement, if you can hear a noise, I'm lowering my desk. My desk is like at my eyes. Levels of disengagement are really interesting. In the Help My Dog Hub, what we have are various games that guide your dog through these levels and teach your dog the levels. So the first level of disengagement is, I'm looking at the thing, I'm aware of the thing, I'm interested in the thing, but I'm not going and interacting with the thing. So I'm still, I'm not moving forward, right? I see the dog over there and I'm not going and interacting with it. And in fact, I'm going to stand up because for those of you who are watching, it's going to be useful for you to see a little picture. For those of you who are not watching, I'll explain it, so don't feel like you're missing out. You're not missing out. Hey guys, I just want to take a little pause to let you know how you can get involved with the official Help My Dog membership hub. If you're enjoying geeking out about the science of dog behavior, want to watch dogs practically being trained in real life, and you want to progress even further, you can join our members-only community and get targeted learning with me each and every week to help you combat your dog struggles at home, on walks, and out and about. And right now, when you jump in, you can actually watch Gorse's behavior rehabilitation from trauma to triumph in an over-the-shoulder video diary showing real-life situations. To find out more, just head over to www.helpmydog.com/hub. So level one, let's pretend it's a dog, right, in the distance. And you've got your dog, let's say about, 20 meters away, okay? Level one of disengagement is just actually saying, I'm looking at you, but I'm not going towards you. Yeah, regardless of whether your dog is on lead or off lead. That's level one of disengagement. Level two of disengagement is, okay, you're looking at the thing. You're not going towards the thing. You're not engaging with the thing beyond engaging with your eyes. Can you listen to me? Can I get you to process some other learning other than go forward? Yeah? And you've probably experienced this with your dog where you've had level one and not level two. Like they're staring at the thing, they're looking at the dog, and you ask them to do something and they're like, lights on, no one's home. I'm not going towards that thing, but I also can't move right now. Yeah? That's a dog who has level one mastered, but doesn't yet have level two mastered. And again, you can teach them that through games and strategies. We show you in the Help My Dog Hub. I've got a special resource that I want to gift to you as well shortly. So watch this space for that. I'll tell you about it later in the episode. So level two is you're not engaging forward, you're listening. Level three is the level that everybody thinks that they want and that they'd be happy with. And that is that your dog actually moves away from the thing. So your dog's like, not my circus, not my monkeys, and I'm moving myself away, yeah? So that is you're walking and they're with you and they're moving away from the thing. And that's a great level to be at. That is awesome. Like we can teach your dog that. It's actually quite easy to teach your dog up to a level three disengagement. We can do it quite quickly. But there's a level four. And that's what I want to introduce in this podcast, because for me, this is where it gets really exciting. Level three, the dog is moving away and the dog is physically moving away and is physically disengaged. But what they have not done is they have not mentally disengaged. They are thinking about that dog over there. Yeah, they're thinking about that melted ice cream that they found at the start of the walk. They're thinking about the fox poo that you wouldn't let them roll in. Yeah, yeah, they're distancing themselves, but you imagine this from our perspective. We're like, I'm not gonna eat that chocolate in the fridge. I'm not gonna eat that chocolate in the fridge. I'm not gonna eat it. Madeline's laughing. I'm not gonna eat it. I'm not gonna eat it. It's tiring, right? And at some point, you might go, I'm not going to eat that chocolate. I'm not going to eat that chocolate. Oh, what's one piece? Yeah. Oh, you know, it'll be fine. One piece. Moment on the lips. It'll be fine. And you end up going there because you've not mentally disengaged from it. And dogs are exactly the same in their levels of disengagement. You've probably had it before where you've managed to peel your dog away from something and they're seemingly with you and they're moving away from the thing with you. And then suddenly they go, see ya, and they're gone. Right? And that's the first challenge with this. Level 4 is mental disengagement. It is not in their head. They are not thinking about it. You know, one little clue when you've achieved mental disengagement from something is dogs will often shake off. Yeah? Or you'll see a step change in the way that they're moving, that they're kind of body language, you could think of it as. But very commonly, dogs will shake off. They're like, oh, yeah. No longer my business, off we go. And they've stopped processing it and thinking about it and doing that very kind of conscious self-control. So first problem, if you don't have mental disengagement right now, is that you don't truly have your dog because they could go back at any point. Second problem is that it's tiring if they're not mentally disengaging. And this is what I see in a lot of dogs. They're carrying things in their brain. You start the walk and they add the fox poo. Then they add the melted ice cream that they've got to think about. Then they add the neighbor's dog that they've got to think about. And they get more and more sticky and more into a state of overwhelm. And there's less and less of their brain available for you to work with and for them to actually focus on you because they've left bits of their brain at various points on the walk or during various points of the day. Yeah. So this is why mental disengagement is so important. I wanted to, I guess, introduce it in this podcast episode, open your eyes to it. Hopefully it will make sense to you as to why your dog does some of the things that they do, because we've not yet got that mental disengagement. And also, I wanted to give you a piece of learning, right? And the piece of learning is I prepared a video workshop for you, and you might not have seen it yet. And it's on the topic of disengagement. And what you're going to learn is about a little bit more about disengagement. And you are also going to learn a game that you can play with your dog. It's called the Rewind, and you can use it in two ways. You grow disengagement as a skill, but also what the Rewind game allows you to do is to spell out to your dog, hey, you see another dog? Disengage. Hey, you see a squirrel? Disengage. Hey, you see fox poo? Disengage. You can literally use it as like a communication tool. So the way that you can get access to that, it's totally free. It's my gift to you, is by going to go, that's G-O, go, .helpmydog.com/disengage. go.helpmydog.com/disengage. Okay. Not the okay at the end. That was me clarifying. And then yeah, you can watch it. It's literally a video on a page. It'll pop up as soon as you put that that web address in. And yeah, watch it, implement the learning and have a practice at it. Because this is the missing piece of the puzzle a lot of the time, right? Often when people find themselves get into the Help My Dog hub, there are certain big light bulbs that they have where they've just not learned this elsewhere, right? They're like, oh, I've been following, you know, your videos for a while, Tom, and this is new, right? And there are a number of those in the Help My Dog hub. This is one of them. And then it's about how do we achieve it and how do we grow it and how do we get our dogs to that level of disengagement so that it's not even in their head. Enters their head and they go, not my circus, not my monkeys. Out it goes, right? So Madeline, have we got any cringe stories?
We do, yes.
Awesome, right, let me have a look. Have you emailed them? Okay, because I'm not allowed into the cringe inbox. Like, if ever you want to see, send something that you don't want me to see, the way to do it is cringe@helpmydog.com or cringe@helpmydog.dog, because I'm not allowed in it. The first time I read these. And guys, if you have any cringe stories, funny stories, stories of, you know, even if it's a win, like it's a win whereby, you know, your dog made a great choice, whereas previously they would have made an awful choice. Email the story in. Let us know what would have happened previously. Let us know what's happening now, because we want to hear those as well. And it's cringe@helpmy.dog.dog. Right, let's do this. So, firstly, thanks. Totally loving HMD, and I also feel I have to apologize in advance of this email. Why?
Read on.
Okay, great. So for context, I have an intact male dog who has his struggles. I also have a friend who has a touch of OCD and also has a lady dog that my dog would like to have his wicked way with. Oh my word. On the day in question, we were going to a friend's for a barbecue and I had checked my friend wasn't bringing her pooch too to avoid any situations. I love it, like coordinating. My lovely friend had even had a shower and put clean clothes on so as to avoid any confusing pheromones or scents for my dog. What an amazingly lovely and thoughtful friend. I mean, I do insist that all my friends shower. I don't know. But yes, especially thoughtful friend. We get to the party and everything is going fine. Dog behaving, kids in hot tub, and we are taking food over to the patio table. But all of a sudden, I hear this scream for help. I go towards the sound and find my dog has locked on to my friend's arm and is going for gold with humping, clearly having a whale of a time. My poor friend is stuck like a toy soldier as she is holding two trays of jacket potatoes, one tray in each hand, and didn't want to drop them. I mean, that is dedication to the potato, isn't it? I decided to take the potatoes off my friend, very kind, before going back to remove my dog, by which time he had stopped and sauntered off. I decided at this point to pop the dog in his crate in the van and then came back and my lovely friend, who luckily saw the funny side, and I apologised and we were all laughing like wholesome friends in a very Enid Blyton kind of way. When I looked down...
Do you know what Enid Blyton is?
No. I don't.
A nice kid's story.
Okay. Okay, yes. In a very wholesome kid's story kind of way. When I looked down at my friend's trouser leg... Why do you make me read these?
I've edited it. It's absolutely fine. Keep reading. It's not that bad.
I feel like I'm walking into a trap.
No.
Yep, you guessed it. I saw a mark, which to my horror must have been left by my dog. So in my head, I'm now horrified. This is too much, even for a friend to bear. What am I to do? Alarm bells are ringing for me, as my friend is mildly OCD about cleanliness. So I reason there is only one thing for it. I call my friend over to the hot tub to help extract the kids ready for tea. And I sneakily whisper in my child's ear, when I whisper now, I want you to start a massive water fight. This is elaborate.
I think it's quite.
This is. Now. Oh, I see. Now. Now I whisper to my child. I'm a great storyteller, who takes great delight but goes slightly overboard. To be fair, I didn't specify how much water should be thrown around. And when it stops, I look up and my friend was absolutely drenched, hair soaked, glasses fallen off into the hot tub, water dripping off her. This is a bad day for your friend. Next thing she said was, oh well, I needed to wash my trousers anyway, as I dropped grease down them earlier. No! So indeed, the mark was not what I thought, and I had unnecessarily soaked my friend. The absolute relief that resulted was swiftly ruined because, out of the mouths of babes, Mummy, that was fun. I'm so glad you told me to start a massive water fight when Tabitha came over. No! I sat my friend down and explained the whole thing. Not such an Enid Blyton moment at that point, but luckily she is still my friend. Oh, that's heartwarming. That is lovely. Right. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Cringe, thank you for appropriately addressing us. I am a dog trainer, so obviously my own dogs are amazingly behaved. I own a dog-friendly campsite in Cornwall, and early one sunny morning, I took Hazel, use her name, she doesn't deserve anonymity. My seven-year-old border collie with me to clean the showers. She's pretty well behaved and campers love to meet my dog, so she was off lead. However, even though it was 5:30 a.m. on this morning, a camper was in the shower. My exceptionally friendly dog, desperate to say hello, squished herself under the door and joined the camper in the shower. That's brilliant. I obviously couldn't go in after her and just had to listen to screams where she was clearly jumping up on a naked lady. Mortified. When they, camper and my dog, finally emerged, I pretended Hazel was one of the rescue foster dogs I had and didn't admit she was my own. I love it. Yours cringe sincerely, anonymous dog owner. That's awesome. Oh, guys, they are brilliant. Please, please, please send in your cringe stories. They are awesome. I think these should both win a mug because they are fabulous. So guys, if you would like to own up to those being your stories, all you need to do is email in cringe at helpmy.dog. Oh no, team at helpmy.com would be best, wouldn't it? Team at helpmydog.com. And yeah, you both win a mug. That they are awesome. And if you've got a cringe story, you want to be in with a chance of winning one of the amazing Help My Dog mugs that... The funny thing is people think they're colour changing. They're actually just a different colour on each side. I would love it if they were colour changing. Then all you got to do, send your cringe story to cringe at helpmy.dog. And whether, you know, you think it's absolutely hilarious or mildly funny, we want them all. So please, please, please send them. That was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. Go check out that free resource we've made for you at go.helpmydog.com/disengage. And we will see you next time. Stop right there. Before you go, it's my mission to get you to your dream that you imagined when you first got your dog. Those walks with freedom, those walks where you're not worrying about what's around the next corner. Maybe actually being able to leave the house rather than, you know, your dog having separation anxiety and it limiting you. And one way that we do that is through the Behave Vet Behavior Clinic. I started it over a decade ago. They're a team of over 10 clinicians that are veterinary professionals, behaviorists, trainers that I have trained, and they do this day in, day out, these transformations, take dogs from reacting to 10 out of 10 dogs to having close and successful interactions. The only thing stopping you from accessing that service is getting in touch. Now, the other thing to say is if you're insured with Pet Plan, Many Pets, Kennel Club, or Agria in the UK, we do direct claims with them, which means you can get an entire behavior transformation covered by your insurance and an out-of-pocket expense to you of just £25. So guys, if you want to find out more about booking a remote Zoom consultation with the Behave Vet Behavior Clinic, all you need to do is go to behavevet.vet/HMD. www.behavevet.vet/HMD. And if you want to hear some of our recent wins, then head on over to Trustpilot and search Behave Vet.